Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Carpen Fracas, powered by Social Media Group. I'm your host, Chris, and joining me this week to talk about all things LFC, I've got Peter, and I've got the man making his long-awaited return to the pod. I don't remember the last time I podded with Els. I think it might be when we signed Darwin Nunez, so this is going back to, like, June. But yeah, we've got Ellis, man.
Is that long? That is shocking. That's shocking, man.
You've been on that Legends contract, you know.
Is that James Milner contract?
Yeah. One appearance for months. God damn it.
We're managing Ellis's minutes better, so that's nice. But brother, it is good to hear you back. I know you've got some burning thoughts. We're going to kick straight into gear as we're recording straight after Liverpool have beaten. That's right, Liverpool have won a game of football. It seems like so long ago that we've been able to discuss something positive in a Liverpool perspective. So we're going to jump straight into that, talk about Liverpool's 2-1 win against Ajax in the Champions League. But before we do, you know the place to be. There's going to be 3 weeks of no football for Liverpool, but that doesn't mean that the content don't stop, baby. Cop and Fracas Patreon page, www.patreon.com/Cop and Fracas. From just £3 a month, you'll get access to some of the best Liverpool content on the web. And I'm not biased in saying that. We have a whole host of patrons who are over the moon with what we deliver. And we want you to be one of them. So head over to that link. Subscribe now for just £3 per month. We do have the return of the long-awaited, the much heralded any other business returning this week, as there are no weekend fixtures for Liverpool. So we'll be going back into an AOB format, which is good. I know the people have been waiting for that. And of course, there'll be a whole host of analysis from Peter and Mike over the international break, for myself, Els, a little bit of breakdowns, and who knows, there might be someone writing or two. So yeah, head over to the Patreon page and subscribe today. But yeah, we are going to talk about Liverpool 2, Ajax 1. And Peter, I'm going to start with you. Saw the lineup drop. Obviously, we know Robertson wasn't playing, as he's got a knee injury, which is a bit of a downer. But I mean, Shimakas had a good game. We'll tackle that in a little bit later on. What were your initial thoughts on the lineup, and were you kind of surprised by anything that you saw?
No, not really. It was the lineup that I kind of like had in my mind that I thought. So interestingly enough, Klopp obviously talked about like reinvention after the Napoli game, obviously after the loss. And knowing Klopp very well, we know he doesn't mean a new formation. He obviously means like probably just maybe like construction a build up a bit different, having different ways of kind of like maybe stationing people out of position and in position and stuff like that. So obviously I knew that we'd play the 4-3-3 because yeah, I don't think Klopp would deviate from that. We're obviously only a week from our last game. And obviously I think where we don't have a game this weekend, we don't have Chelsea this weekend, which he was meant to play. I think we had to go with our strongest team. It made sense to go with our strongest team because now we don't have another game until after the international break. So our strongest team, I think, includes Matip, includes Thiago, and obviously they have to come in. So, only question for me was, would Nunes or Jota start? I thought Nunes might start because Jota hasn't had a pre-season and he's only had that little cameo against Napoli. That was his whole like minutes this whole season. So, but he gave Jota the start, which I'm always happy to see Jota back. Happy to see my man's back, my little shooter. And he played Elliot next to Thiago. So yeah, no complaints on lineup, to be honest.
it was nice to see Diogo back. That dog, etc. Seems to have acquired more dog during his injury, which is nice. We'll talk about him in a little bit more detail later on. El's kind of similar question about the 11, and just I thought it was interesting, kind of the way that we played tonight. I've been reading a lot of analysis kind of in the past week as there's been a lot more downtime and, you know, been able to do a bit more analysis as well. There was a really good piece that Sam Maguire wrote in terms of how we've kind of tried to evolve the style and kind of do this new way of operating. And it all seems like it's a little bit too much too soon. But tonight felt like it was very much back to basics in a lot of elements. The way we kind of operated, the way we got Salah involved in the game a lot more. I mean, there was a lot not less reliance on the fullbacks to kind of creating stuff, but a lot of that is obviously due to Thiago coming back in the lineup, but what do you think in terms of Liverpool's style of play this evening? Do you notice anything different from what we've seen in the past few games, or did you think, kind of think it was just the same old, but a bit more...
So yeah, it was good to see that Liverpool get back to basics and just do what they're really good at. Again, that first, I just want to say that 30 minutes, the pressing was there, was shutting down Ajax's spaces. Salah was getting behind. Passing was a bit quick, but also controlled. So I think, you know, Klopp said they would be at a great defend, but it seemed like they just went back to what they really know, to be quite honest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was a lot of kind of back to basics, which was nice. And I think Peter hit kind of hit the nail on the head there from what Klopp said. It's not about rebuilding, it's about retooling in a way. So it's kind of figuring out what works for you. And, you know, it did feel like they were trying to do a bit too much too fast. And it's just everything that we did tonight seemed to work quite well. I mean, the BT analysis in terms of the Ajax goal was quite lazy. And we'll try and cover that in a bit more detail later on. But Peter, kind of your thoughts on how we kind of, you know, started off the game. I thought first 10 minutes were absolutely superb. It was nice to kind of like actually get off to like a nice head of steam and look like we kind of built some momentum by ourselves. What kind of took you by surprise in that kind of first 10, 15 minutes of the game as we kind of looked like we were building a lot? First of all, we were building a lot of possession, which was nice. And also kind of creating effective chances too. Did anyone kind of look like they were the standout player for you in those kind of key moments early on?
The thing that took me by surprise is just seeing how a midfielder should midfield. So seeing how Thiago plays after my eyes absolutely burning when I'm seeing, I love James Milner, I love him, like great servant to the club, but the disparity, like the levels between James Milner playing at left centre mid role and then Thiago playing it is just absolutely like massive. Like it's just huge. And just seeing Thiago win his duels and then getting the ball, having the composure, picking out a player, like, and then Fabinho just looks so much better when he's playing next to Thiago. Like, my shock, Fabinho looks like a much better player when he doesn't have a 37-year-old playing next to him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd like to see any other CDM in the league. Get Rodri playing next to James Milner and Harvey Elliott. You know what I'm saying? Harvey Elliott's a good player, but don't get me wrong, but he's not quite there yet in terms of that midfield or responsibilities. So, like, Fabinho just having someone who's able to play next to him, and they just look so much better as a tangent, and the base of our team just looks so much more solid having Matip, Van Dijk, Thiago, Fabinho. That quartet just, it makes me feel so safe, like, in terms of they're able to win the ball back, they win their duels, and they're calm on the ball. And what Matip provides in position is just, it's invaluable in terms of he's able to kind of bring that ball out and he's able to kind of play line-breaking passes. And, like, naturally, a team will let our centre-backs have the ball or let centre-backs have the ball because obviously they're trying to, I don't know, mark players in midfield or now forward line, but you can't really let Matip have the ball because he's too dangerous for a bit. And what you're saying about, like, going back to basics is just, it's just spot on. Like, having Salah again closer to goal, our best player, Salah, by the way, you know, someone who finished top goal scorer last season, having him closer to goal, working with our centre forward, he just looks so much better. Him having touches in and around the box, and he scores from it, you know what I'm saying? He scores from being closer to goal. So, yeah,
it's a really well taken finish as well.
Yeah, definitely. And Jota, fantastic play from Jota as well to set him. His link-up play looks so good as well today. But just another thing on the back-to-basics point. Having Salah close to goal and then Elliot overlapping him so that it gives Salah space or whatever. Like, before, I don't know why we was playing Salah so like wide and having him hug the touchline and maybe having Elliott come inside or whatever. But like, I just didn't understand it. And we kind of like ventured away from what worked so well last season. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't understand it. I think maybe Klopp and Pep probably wanted, they obviously had these like kind of a lot of like, what's the word? They had like a lot of things in mind, maybe when signing Darwin Nunes, like maybe in preseason, they thought, okay, if we like kind of work on this and maybe we can get him chances and like, but I think sometimes when you get a lot of like new players in, so obviously we have Nunes and Diaz. Diaz is obviously not as new as Nunes, but sometimes you just need to let them settle in a system, but not change the system and change players. I think changing system and changing players at the same time is just way too much. So if you have a settled system that new players can come in and contribute, I think it works better. But changing system and then bringing new players in that system, I think it was just way too much. So I think going back to basics and playing how we normally play in this kind of 4-3 system and how we played for many years, it worked. We looked a much better team today and we looked just a lot more compact and yeah, it looked a lot more fluid.
Fluidity is the big, that's the right key word to be using there. I think the fluidity was the one thing that really kind of got back into the team today. I'm really glad you hammered that point home. It just looked a lot more progressive. They're able to build up easier. And obviously, you know, we can wax lyrical about Thiago all day long. I mean, the tenacity he showed in the middle of the park, the progressive nature that he had, the ability to not only just take a man on, but to win the ball back in really key areas. I mean, even Fabinho was kind of looking at thinking, Jesus, I need to up my game a little bit here.
Yeah,
winning some tackles, which was nice. And the
fluidity thing as well, I think that's the reason why he went for Jota instead of Nunes today. Because like you're playing someone who already knows the front line and already knows the system. And so you're not having maybe two people in that front line who kind of like kind of freestyle, do their own thing in Nunes and Diaz. He went for Jota, who kind of knows the system. He knows our team. So I think that's why he went on Jota today, because that fluidity word, like we said.
Els, I'm going to come to you on Jota. I thought first half, he was absolutely terrific. Second half, I feel like he probably kind of got a little bit tired in some aspects, which is, you know, to be expected as he has just come off the back of the injury. How did you feel about him operating in that number nine? Because I think obviously Peter alluded to earlier on, the link of play was just so much more cleaner, kind of echoing back to some of the stuff that we saw from the beginning of last season, which was a really standout linchpin to his game. But he seems to have graded it a little bit more, which is fantastic. He was one of the main drivers throughout that fluidity too. You know, he was able to kind of drop back, but also be in those key dangerous areas, not only receive the ball, but to play really clever passes. What were your thoughts on Diogo Jota's performance this evening?
Yeah, I thought first half was really good. I'm not going to even hold him, man. It was really good first half. The hold up play was good. The link up play was good. It was finding the right pass at the right time. Even for the center, you could see he played the right pass there. I think I was a big critic of Jota in terms of his all-round technical ability. I thought it was a bit messy, but he is an ultimate goal scorer. Like what I saw today, it really gave me a lot of hope that he can play that number nine role. I personally thought that he would be a starter this season before Nunes, because it would give time to Nunes to settle in. But obviously, the injuries got in the way. But yeah, today I did really like his performance. One thing I do like about Jota is he's a very intelligent forward. I like how he gets his foot in front of the defender, wins a lot of fouls. He's very strong, he's very sharp. You know what I'm saying? He's always looking to get the shot off. But today was a good performance as a number nine. If I want to see him more as a number nine, I would like a Firmino in behind him. Firmino do all these like technical work and just slot him in, can you say he's the best finisher at the club? Yeah, I probably would say yeah.
Do you think he's better finisher than Salah?
I think he will score 2 out of 3. Salah wouldn't. If let's say out of 3 shots, I don't know. That one's up in there, but he's a very, very accomplished finisher. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But today, not taking anything away from him, he was really good. He was obviously tired out. He tired out towards the 65th, 70th minute, whenever he came off the pitch. But apart from that, he was good.
Yeah, and do you know what Jota was doing? He was picking up these little spaces where, like, he would kind of drive at the defense. Like, you see, like them spaces where, like, maybe the inside forwards have run beyond him, and he's just picking up in those little spaces, and he's able to drive at, and it was causing Ajax a lot of issues. Like Alvarez couldn't really pick him up, and anytime he did, they were just fouling him. So it was just really smart play from Jota in terms of just picking up those little pockets that Ajax couldn't really live with him in those pockets. So they just had to foul him, really. So yeah, it was really intelligent play.
A lot of high energy from Jota, a lot of running behind, which was absolutely fantastic. Not too sure if these are his stats, just because the source is a little bit higgy, but completed all his dribbles, won all his ground duels, won three fouls, two chances created, and obviously gets an assist. It's a proper workmanship they put in up front, and he also had got in some good positions himself to kind of get some shots up, which was nice to see. But yeah, he just looks so much more fluid with him there. For Diaz, put in a decent shift too, looked threatening at times. But yeah, it also gives me a little bit more hope as well to kind of see that when, I think a lot of people are kind of getting on Darwin Nunez for reasons that are unbeknownst, probably more the fact that Harald is just like absolutely banging everything in front of him on the pitch and probably off the pitch as well. but it just gives me the ability to stay kind of like, if you give Darwin those reps as a number nine playing like how we did this evening, he'll be completely fine, because you look at Jota, kind of like the same mold of clay. They both got that dog in them. They both kind of got somewhat technical deficiencies that are similar to each other. And if you can kind of coach them up over the time, give it 6 months, you'll probably see like similar performances out of him. But let's just kind of wait and see. He looked somewhat impressive when he came on for his cameo, I thought, if we want to kind of get into that discussion.
I felt like he was just still clunky today.
I thought it was a weird one because I don't know if he'd be better in the 4-3-3 as opposed to the 4-2-3-1. I just thought the formation change kind of like just messed it up a little bit.
Yeah, it changed our rhythm. And it might not be through any fault of his, because I thought like Firmino didn't look great either when he came on. But I just felt like the rhythm kind of left and they were kind of running around. It was kind of getting away. It was just fouling people. He got in a really good position for that goal. Not for the chance, sorry. He always gets chances whenever he plays, which is a fantastic thing about him. His movement is fantastic. But I just felt like he had a couple of bad touches and he was just fouling defenders, really, when he came on. But I don't know if it's his fault or him and Firmino both looked kind of like a bit... you know what I'm saying? Just a bit... Yeah, like you said, I don't know. The formation change probably wasn't the best thing.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
How many minutes did you get?
But 25, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, first ten was really bad. He had a touch where Diaz was gonna run off of him. What he had to do was just set it and spin around. But the touch was bad and it led to an Ajax attack. Then he had a few that he couldn't really get into the game. His touches were, it takes him a long time to warm up, you know what I'm saying? That's just the point I'm trying to get to. But when he did finally warm up, he had the chance where he missed his snatch. Like you said, PR, I do like that he's getting chances. And once he just settled down to all systems go, there was a chance for Diaz with the keepers. I thought that was really good. I like the way he felt that was good composure. It was a good pick out for Diaz. Just unfortunately, keeper got there. So, he has a lot of deficiencies to iron out. I personally just think he has more confidence in it.
True.
You saw it, watch.
Yeah.
Then he gets sent off. You know what I'm saying? So now it's back to ground zero. So I think this time he will definitely pick up and we'll see the best of him. But I think we need to remember that when a striker's getting his chances non-stop, that means he's doing something well to get himself in that position.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the interesting thing as well, because he's getting all the stick in this criticism, but he's still getting like a shitload of chances.
Loads.
And his movement looks pretty good when he comes on, so he's obviously getting in the right areas. And I mean, the ball he puts in for that DS chance where that Targaryen brother, the goalkeeper, who's like 90 years old, he had like one of those deceptively good games.
He was sick. Did you notice that he's handling and he's like positioning was so elite? Like, I was thinking, fine, how does he know he's going there?
Bro, he's 39 years old, you know? Like, what's going on there?
It's a testing.
You know what? Yeah. You could play for a fair few Premier League teams. I'm looking at it.
You could, man. Yeah.
Probably. The thing, I think the thing with the, Nunes, like, I feel for him because I feel like with him, he's not coming into a side that's settled. He's coming into a side where, like, this is, like, chaotic at the moment. Like, we're literally trying to find our identity again. We're trying to find ourselves again. And I think it's extremely hard to come in, like, to play in this side at the moment because, like, we're doing different stuff and build up. We just look like a shell of our former selves. Whereas if he came to a team that was settled and, like, everything was fine and all he had to do was just worry about himself, I think he'd look a lot better. And, like, we saw the same thing with Thiago. You remember when Thiago first came in and we had no centre-backs and then Thiago was looking like... Everyone was saying that Thiago looked spooky and this and that. Then as soon as we started playing with centre-backs, Thiago looked so much better. As soon as Thiago started playing with Fabinho next to him, Thiago looked 100 times better. And it's the same thing with, like, Nunes, I think. I think once we get settled down and we start, like, have a, like, yeah, I'm saying we have a midfield that plays regularly, constantly. We have an 11 that plays constantly, like, regularly, and he just has to worry about him playing as the nine and taking these chances. He will settle down as well when we settle down. So I just feel for him because he's coming into a chaotic side at the moment. That's maybe, I don't know, some might say this side is in transition. I don't know if it is, but, like, it needs to, like Chris said, retool a bit, and it's not very settled. So I think when we settle down, he will too. But I do feel for him a bit, just to give us some context.
I hate that word when we're talking about Liverpool transition because it's not a change. Yeah. I don't know. It's just.
Like, I wouldn't use that word.
I know you. I know you wouldn't.
Yeah, it's just like, maybe retool. I would use or reinvent. Maybe.
Yeah,
I would say retransition.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a case of even reinventing the wheel. To be fair, is it? It's just kind of like how you've got all these different weapons in your arsenal now. How do we retool? Is the perfect word. It's how do we kind of like readjust, adapt to all these different kind of, pieces we have. So
we have Matip, Thiago, Van Dijk. These are all PLA players that are in their peak years or whatever.
These are good players as well.
Yeah, so transition is a bit funny, yeah.
Salah's goal. It's a really good piece of football. I think that's one of the things that Liverpool have been missing recently. Comes kind of really well off the transitions and some decent build-up play too. Jota in there for kind of like, passing the ball through. Els, I'll come to you. Do you think we'll be seeing a lot more of that kind of when we come back from the international break, considering how good I think it was just in terms of, classic LFC style, the goal?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope club has realised that whatever he was trying to do prior to this game, it wasn't working. Let's just, play normally, do you know what I'm saying? How many times have we seen Salah do that over the last, sixth season? We've seen him do it year on year, do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's what we need, really. Intelligent play. It was really well done from Diaz to win the header. I think that's an unspoken aspect of his game. Gets up well before the defender wins the header. Very good composure from Jota.
Classic Liverpool, man. Nice little punt up feel from Alisson. Really good control.
Really good control. So it was good. Even Salah's finish was fantastic. Takes the first touch. Starts it away. This Salah doing what it does. So we want to see a bit more of that. And it was good to see because the last couple of games, he wasn't really getting chances like that. He was not getting any kind of clear cut chances where Salah won or one the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting so many good positions tonight, which was good. He kind of did. Obviously, when we go to the 4-2-3-1, he kind of crept back out wide again, which I wasn't the biggest fan of. But I mean, that first half again is just a personification of how good Liverpool are realistically when they kind of switch it on and don't kind of go into this new shell that they found themselves in. It was just a really nice thing to see. We talked about Robbo's injury earlier on. His deputy stepped up in Costa Shimakas. That might be the best game I've seen from Shimakas.
It was a man of the match.
Oh, was he man of the match?
For me personally,
he should
I don't
be.
Know, I don't know if he was. He should be, because I thought that was his best game since. Did you say last season?
He's not had a good game this season. So,
there we go.
I was looking at his stats now. He creates 5 chances in the game, the most. Obviously, gets the assist, 72 touches, which is quite interesting. didn't get dribbled past, wins all of his tackles, and gets a pretty key interception too. Considering the ability, I mean, he had Tadic in his back pocket for the vast majority of the game, and we know how much of a talisman he is for Ajax. That's the one thing we haven't really seen from him, I will say, is that kind of like defensive nous that you know kind of do come to expect from your left back. Obviously, Robbo shows it in bursts at times. He can have his odd bozo moment and playing someone onside. But kind of seeing him kind of have that extra gear to his defensive element, but also kind of being very, very, very good from the offensive point of view. Obviously, with Robbo being out now, and obviously we don't know when he's going to come back, and Tsimikas putting in a performance like that, it makes you feel kind of comfortable knowing that you can still rely on that left-hand side going forward. Peter, what were your thoughts on Tsimikas' performance this evening? And would you consider potentially playing him a lot more even when Robbo is back?
Yeah, I thought Tsimikas played a really good game today. He was really cool and composed. There was a lot of times maybe like he was isolated with Tadic or Bergwijn.
Yeah,
like he was isolated with him. And then like, I think one or two times he even like flicked it over his head and then just carried on playing. It was just really like composed from him. And his anticipation today was really good. Like he said, there was that key interception where like he kind of tracks the man all the way back. And then he's even on the right side. So he's on Trent's side. And then like he does a little shimmy and then he loses his man and then just plays out of position. I'm just like, oh yeah, that's class. Like that's quality. And he helped him build up too. I don't know if you man noticed, but like, I think the ball, a lot of the time it was like Matip, Thiago, Tsimikas, like they were all like very key in build up today. So I think he's quite composed in build up. And yeah, I was really impressed with his performance today. This season, I haven't really liked him in terms of the fact that like Robertson hasn't really had a great start to the season, but when Tsimikas would come on, his little cameos were even scary. Like they were even spookier as well. So yeah, I think he needed his performance. Other than the Bournemouth performance, I think where he got two assists, I think, yeah, this has definitely been his best performance this season. And I'm more than happy for him to, if he plays well, to keep his side in the team. Like, we have to reward great, good performances, you know? If you play well, then you should start based on merit. And I don't think Robertson's been in the best of form recently. So if Tsimikas can keep this form up for the rest of the season, then I don't see why I shouldn't start ahead of Robertson if it's based on merit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in any risk kind of taking him out of the team, to be fair. I think the key point you made there about him helping up in the build-up, he stayed a lot deeper at times, which I thought was quite interesting. He wasn't kind of like looking to try and make that
progressive run.
Yeah, which I actually thought helped Diaz out quite a bit. Because you just kind of provide him with a little bit more space too. And yeah, no, I was really impressed. He looked really settled next to Matip. Was he by Matip? No, he wasn't. He was by Van Dijk. Yeah, he looked really settled next to Van Dijk, which was good too. And that kind of that whole left hand triangle I thought worked really well. Him, Van Dijk, and Thiago kind of in possession in that build up play. So yeah, no, it's just good. Hopefully, we can kind of keep working on that when they kind of get this extended preseason in. Let's do a little bit better. That doesn't even make sense, Dan. You can very much tell it's 11 o'clock and I've been up since 4:30 this morning. Let's do some better analysis than BT Sports did for the goal that we conceded, because it was utter dog shit. And I'm pretty sure Michael Owen was just there as some form of like work experience child. Who were we all laying the blame at for that? Because the consensus will be, oh, it's Trent not being switched on. But what we've seen from the right-hand side in midfield role, from the defensive role that we all know that it has in terms of it being quite a key fulcrum, and obviously how, not only how the attack is facilitated, but in covering the defensive space to allow that space to allow that right-hand side to kind of be facilitated too. Do you think Harvey Elliott has to do a lot better in these situations if he's going to be playing on that right-hand side going forward? Because he should be one of the ones either picking up Kudus or one of the other fellas who was on the ball there too. The name escapes me. But Els, I'll come to you. As he matures, I think Harvey Elliott will kind of grow into that. But you kind of do feel in situations like that specifically, you need a grown-up in the room to kind of help deal with those things.
Yeah, you just need something that's a bit more switched on. Sorry. See what's going to happen if you understand the picture. And as Harvey Elliott plays more games, you will understand the picture a bit more and a bit quicker. We were talking in a group chat how Trent should follow the member. We've seen that ball go behind the right back a long time ago. So the right back goes to press it, goes behind it. The centre back comes out to engage with the man. One of your midfielders to drop in. So Fabinho should drop in as Matip goes out. Fabinho should drop in. And your right side is centre mid should also drop in to cover that space on the right-hand side or the left-hand side of that box so that any second balls he can pick up. But then when you don't have no one there, it leaves a big space. And then Bergwijn takes about, what, two touches in the box. He has time to run across Van Dijk. Van Dijk hasn't really got time to close down Kudus and he finishes very, very well. So I know the general consensus and the easiest thing to do is to blame Trent because that's what's in vogue right now. Obviously, he should even track back as well, but he doesn't. But the main thing I'm saying is that once that ball goes past your right back, people need to be alert and need to get into their spaces. And I know we've done that. That's why the goal is kind of easy.
Yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from Kudus. I mean, it's an unbelievable finish. He hits that with the power of what I can only describe as like 1,000 stuns. I mean, the sound it made when it hit the crossbar was absolutely insane. Peter, I kind of pose the same question to you. We see that right-hand side at some points. It is food. And it's obviously it is the place that people do target, considering, you know, some of the space they can and the joy they can get from there. Not to lay the blame entirely on Elliot because, you know, Fabio's at fault in certain aspects there too. What do you think they just need to do better in those scenarios kind of going forward? Because, I mean, we didn't give up that many chances of high quality to Ajax today. I mean, their total predicted XG is like 0.24. But obviously they get the goal. What do you think we need to do better in these scenarios to make sure that we're kind of not getting in these deficits where we need late winners again?
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway with the biggest stars, top teams and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time, and extra time. And stream every match of UEFA Champions League live, exclusively on Paramount+.
I don't know, man. It's hard to say. I
was going
to
say, I mean, I don't know why I posed that question like that, because if you had all the answers, you'd probably be on the coaching staff. So
it's hard to say. I think the Elliot Trent kind of partnership on the right, defensively, I don't think it's working. I'll be honest, I don't think it's working. Mm-hmm. I think whilst attacking-wise, I might have some nice patterns to it, defensively, I don't think Elliot is responsible enough yet at this age.
There's like a kind of like innocent naivety to it.
I just don't think he's naturally defensive-minded because he's been a winger for most of his career. So it's not natural for him to pick up runners off the ball. Like the most he would have to do is maybe track his opposing fullback, but not all the time fullbacks go forward. You know what I'm saying? So as a winger who's been converted to centre mid, it's not natural for him to think, okay, shit, if we lose the ball, where should I be? You know what I'm saying? Like the best midfielders, defenders, when they lose the ball, they kind of like, they always think, okay, where should I be positioned in case we lose the ball? But Elliot's not like that. Elliot's obviously thinking, I want to be on the ball. I want to be attacking. So it's not really on him. It's not really his like game to really track runners and really be alert defensively. And I feel like this is kind of costing us. But at the same time, Trent. And maybe I'm still kind of hurt and disappointed by his Napoli performance. So maybe that's still contributing to it. But I just feel like, how old is he now? 23, 24? And we're still at this point where we kind of need a right centre mid to kind of hold his hand defensively. And he kind of needs his help on that right-hand side. Like, I don't know how many times we concede goals from this right-hand side. It's so frustrating to me. And I'm past the point of saying, okay, maybe Trent can learn, or maybe Trent can kind of, if he supplies himself a bit more, this, that. It's just, he's not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? He just doesn't want to. I think there are certain games where he obviously has good games offensively, and maybe like a final, he might be more motivated for, like a semi-final, might be more motivated for. But week to week, it's a weakness on our team. Like, it generally is a weakness on our team, and teams eat from the right hand side. So again, we have to find a way in our system to cover this deficiency or cover this weakness. You know what I'm saying? If it's by not playing Elliot and putting someone there who's more defensively aware, or maybe buying a right centre mid who is great athletically so that they can kind of track runners on that side, then maybe that can help. Like, I think we were talking today about Valverde, and there's supposed rumours that we put a bid for him today. You know what I'm saying? That type of midfield would be perfect because he's peak athletically and he would be able to help Trent on that right-hand side. So, I just think it's a big problem in this team currently, because obviously we don't have that dynamism, we don't have that athleticism type of midfielder where they're able to kind of help with that right-hand side and help runners and help stuff like that. And yeah, and the goal, okay, the goal, there's no pressure on the ball. That's a problem, because our system is valued around pressing, and it's valued on not giving midfielders and opponents time to pick passes. You know, these are professional footballers. If you give them time to pick passes, they will kill you. And there's no pressure at all. So Salah should be pressing blind. That's not good enough from him. And then Elliot.
Don't forget Thiago. Thiago presses the keeper for no reason.
Oh, I didn't see. I can't remember that far back. But yeah, I don't know.
He's mashed up the whole team because he's out of free. And Diaz doesn't drop in, so he's already mashed it all up. So everyone has to drag across.
Okay, good. Yeah, so that's not good enough for him as well. And then Berghaus makes a run. So Berghaus looks like it's Elliot's man. He makes a run. Elliot doesn't track him. Again, not good enough for him not tracking runners. And at that point, obviously, again, it's a catalogue of errors. So then Trent has to kind of make a decision between either tracking Berghaus or going fully to press the ball. And I feel like he's stuck in between and doesn't make a decision quick enough. So then the Blind's able to make the pass and he doesn't track Berghaus. And obviously Berghaus makes the running behind him. So I think in that position, to be fair, like Ellis said, it's a catalogue of errors. So it starts with Thiago, then it goes to Salah, then it goes to Elliot. But Trent should make a decision to either follow Berghaus or not. And I think, that's my decision. But that right-hand side, I do think is a problem for us, man.
I think you're doing a disservice to Trent, because second half he's actually pocketed at Bergwijn. Like, there's one where he stood him up 1v1, took the ball off him, and then given it to Diaz. Diaz had a little chance. So I think we do a little disservice. I think when you put a player there like Elliot, the problem is that you're giving your right back too much work to do. So it's almost like 3-1, and that's really unfair to Trent. So you're telling Trent, okay, I want you to hold off. Wait, no, you need to press that. Hold on. Why is that man running behind him? Do you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot for him to do. If the reason why people like the likes of Henderson, the likes of Genie Wijnaldum, and Milner, to a lesser extent, like before, before he got to like 100 years old, the reason why there was that right-hand side was so successful because they knew that, okay, Trent's going to bump forward. Let me try and watch the runners. Or if the right side of mid is bumping forward, I'm gonna hold off and wait. So Trent didn't have too much work to do. I know a lot of people do say, he doesn't track back, he doesn't do that. But fam, if you've got three, sometimes four people on that right-hand side doing a whole lot of stuff, it's too much. It's just too much. There's times where, like last week against Napoli, there was times where he just didn't look really bothered, and that's unacceptable. You can't really do that on a football pitch. But then if you go last week, again, like I was saying in the group team, PR, you can't, I mean, Gomez, that's bread and butter, man. Get rid of the ball. What are you doing there? You can't say, let's go all the way back to the start of phase. Look at Trent. Then you forget about how the ball got into the back of the net when some man just got bullied. So I feel sometimes like it's an easy win just to say, look at Trent. Like all the videos they were showing, they'll show Trent, but they won't show how the ball got into the back of the net. And it was like four touches after that. So I think we need to really like delve into it, because if he was part of a defence that conceded 20-odd goals, a defence that was very miserly, what has really changed in his game per se? Do you know what I'm saying? So I think there's more to it than just like, he's not doing enough.
Okay, cool. He had a great second half. Fair play to him against Bergwijn. Fair play. But it still doesn't hide the point that, like, when we do concede goals, they mostly come from this right-hand side. So there is a problem there. And the left-hand side, it's the same thing. Like, the left-hand side, they play the same way. But why don't goals come from that side? Teams target that side, and there's a reason for it. So I don't know what you want to, like. There's a weakness there, bro. Like, there's generally a weakness there. Yeah. We have to try and...
Now, you say that, but... I'd like to see how many goals come from that left-hand side more than... Again, it's a thing whereby we're always looking at trend. That's the thing. A lot of goals come from that left-hand side. If you're saying that Robbo has Bozo moments, he has a lot of Bozo moments.
But it's on the ball. My grief with Robertson is on the
ball. Even people run in behind him. I've seen a lot of goals. When we played Man City.
You're avoiding this issue because, like,
what? There's no issue to avoid when it's...
There is an issue to avoid, fam. Like, we need cover for him.
It's too easy to just blame one person.
I'm not just blaming him. I'm saying the right-hand side is a problem.
No, you are. That's what I'm saying. You've blatantly seen the holding midfielder and the right centre mid literally not pick up any space. Literally, they're just left.
Okay, but last season we had the same discussion, and we were saying that it's Henderson because his legs are not declining, and this season it's Elliot because he's too young. Like, fam, come on. Like, at what point will we...
No, that's not what we're saying.
What do you mean? You didn't say last season that Henderson hasn't got legs anymore? That he can't track back?
What I'm saying, fam, last season we was elite last season, bro. I can't remember us saying that.
We're going through a lot of problems.
I think a lot of people, it's too simple. Like, it was basically like what we saw, the analysis we saw at halftime, it was just too simple. It was like, Real Ferdinand just showed a straight line, the ball going in a straight line. Oh, yeah, Trent needs to do better there. Yeah, but fam, how did the ball get into the box? How did it get into the box? Why has a man got the ball in the box? What about that? That's what I'm trying to say.
The guy has the ball in the box because they've obviously gone down the right-hand side and he's crossed it. That's why. What do you mean?
Yeah, but bro,
Matic was exactly cover, so, but he's not quick enough to cover.
Cool. So, but the thing is, even if it's gone far right, there's a lot of times that the ball goes on the right side and we get rid of it. There's a lot of times.
Okay, brilliant. But when we do concede,
you can't just take one thing and just say,
it's a goal. Because these are high. It's the highest level. It's margins. We concede goals from this. It's a problem.
Exactly.
It's the highest level.
It's few and far between.
It's not though. We conceded before last week.
Klopp said last week. Yeah, the reason why we're conceding so many goals is because there's not enough pressure on the ball, innit? So if you're not putting pressure on the ball and the ball keeps on coming back and you still want us to try and play a high line, we're going to get caught out every time. So people need to all do their individual jobs, innit? That's not to take away that Trent, at times, he needs to be more alert. That's fine, 100% innit? But you can't just say there's a reason why and he's the main catalyst. That's a lie. Like that, I just can't have that.
How is that a lie, though? We need a midfielder to cover
you. But you're going on, again, like people standing up 1v1 and beating all the time.
No, they run behind him and runners obviously going behind him.
Exactly. But if they run in behind him, he's pushed up. So that's why people need to track runners.
Yeah, but most of the time it's actually his man.
So what, his man's got the ball and scored.
No, because he'll go to press the ball or something like that, but this is decision making. So if he goes to press the ball, then he has to stop it. Otherwise, that's it. We're finished. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that... My main point is that why do we need a amazingly athletic midfielder to kind of cover and hold his hand? Because
you just need people to track runners. That's all. You don't need anyone to hold his hand. Just track your runners. Like, if you're saying that, he pushes up too much, he's going to push up and press the ball in it. So you need to track the runner. It's simple. Why are you letting someone just run past you? I don't understand.
I feel like you're getting offensive over Trent. And I love Trent as much as you do, bro. But I'm acknowledging that there's a weakness there and there's a problem there.
I'm saying the weakness to you, though. Like, track runners, innit? If Trent was getting beaten up 1v1, last week he got beaten up 1v1. If man stand him up and just get into the box, I understand that. If some people are standing him up and get into the box week in, week out, and he's not doing it, I understand it. But I can't say that, he's pressed. he's gone to press the ball, and then the ball's gone round him.
Okay, so 1v1, so do you think... Okay, 1v1, do you think he's good enough?
He's decent enough.
Oh, he's decent enough.
Like I said... did you watch the game, Peter? Did you watch the game?
Yeah. Did you watch?
Okay.
Did you watch the Napoli left winger last week? The Napoli left winger is a better player than Bergwijn. He's not a better player than Bergwijn. Is he not a better player than Bergwijn?
I don't care. But what I'm saying to you, did you watch the game? You watched the game, right?
Yes, I did watch the game, but he's not playing Bergwijn.
You're telling me he gets beaten at 1v1. How many times did he get beaten at 1v1?
But the thing is, you're focused on today's game. It's a common theme throughout the whole season. It's a problem.
Last week, it was a thing whereby he didn't follow the runner, and that's fine.
The guy chipped over his leg. Did you not see that goal where the guy chipped over his leg?
Okay. No, like I said, fam, what I'm saying is that we're going on too much, and it's always Trent. I'm not saying it's always Trent.
I acknowledge that Elliot is also not tracking his runners too, but I'm saying that there's only some times we can blame the right centre mid. He has to be accountable as well. He has to be.
Fair enough, man.
That was Corey insane stuff, by the way.
You sidetracked your show, Chris.
It's not my show, it's our show. I'd consider me for a sports entertained there. But you both had very compelling points. I think it is sometimes it's a lack of effort, as we saw against Napoli last week. But there was also kind of issues like today where it was kind of like a structural and systematic issue. But you can also kind of acknowledge that probably could have been a little bit better in certain scenarios, just in terms of the awareness. But yeah, I just kind of go back to that point that we made about Valverde. It is interesting that that was one of the names that did pop up, because I mean, obviously me, you and Yak were talking about it earlier, Peter, in terms of like how he operates and how he plays in that Real Madrid system, how he's very much kind of on that right-hand side and does a lot of the dirty work, as it were. You can kind of see the athletic profile. He's really quick. He's really pacey. He's got that... What do they call it? That gentrified PMP. There we go. that, you know, some people crave and covet now. You can definitely see how a guy like him would kind of operating the system. Now, I don't think he'd ever leave Real Madrid at this point, unless he's kind of like forced out in a weird like Di Maria or Ozil situation to get a better player in. But it's comforting in a way to know that the club, although he is frustrated in some aspects like we talked about as well in terms of not going for kind of, you know, other players such as Nunes, it's comforting to know that they kind of have these players identified and know what the actual objective is in terms of kind of recruiting for this right-hand side of midfield role.
Yeah, for sure. At least acknowledging a profile that we kind of need. I think that's the main encouraging thing, that we need a profile, like an athletic midfielder, that dynamic, that can get up and down. I don't think there's many midfielders on our team who can actually get up and down a pitch comfortably, you know what I'm saying? Do an 80, 90 yard sprint comfortably and, you know what I'm saying, and support the attack, get back. I don't think
it's... I like how you basically said there's a lot of players who can't run.
But I don't know. There's certain midfielders in there I don't want to talk too much on, but yeah, it's comforting that we are targeting that kind of role. And also, to be honest, I think the thing with Valverde, a lot of people don't actually give him credit for. He's actually quite techie. Like, he's quite techie as well. He's not just a workhorse. He's proper techie as well.
One of those ones where you look at him, you're like, "You are a white boy." One of them ones. Yeah, good player, man. I'm really interested because I know the links to Luka Sukic were quite strong in the transfer window too. So I wonder if they've kind of got similar profiles in terms of like athleticism and build. So I wonder if that could be kind of like a solution for the right-hand sided role. They're pretty adamant that they only want one specific person at this point now. And it's on them. Yeah, Big Jude, who randomly dropped Mohamed Salah into a Messi or Ronaldo conversation earlier today. I don't know if you all saw the clip, which I thought was quite funny. Yeah, there was like... it was like some video that they did for Dortmund, and there was like one of the questions asked to him was kind of like, "Who would you rather have, obviously Messi or Ronaldo?" You picked Messi, but then he went, "You know, for kind of how we play in our team at the moment, I want Mohamed Salah," you know, in like a very broad Birmingham accent. I was like, "Yeah, fair enough." Said Mohamed Salah unprovoked. He was like, "Yeah, gets goals, works hard." I'm like, "Yeah, Interesting. Interesting that you just bring a man's name up unprovoked into a discussion that's not about him. Now, I'm not someone who likes to kind of spread conspiracy theories or speculate. I'm not that type of person at all. I mean, not in the slightest. But yeah, man, makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you think. in terms of the overall performance, I thought we were way better tonight. I mean, it wasn't difficult considering the utter shit show that we saw last week, which I kind of don't want to discuss anytime soon, mainly because I had a very long day at work and like slept through most of it, which was absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I mean, they were miles better. Thiago kind of coming in helped a lot. And the big fella at the back, Mr. Joel Matip. I'm so glad, you know, I like Joe Gomez, but there are some deficiencies in his game. And obviously he's only just kind of getting back up to speed from kind of not playing as much last season and recovering from that injury, which I do think took him a little bit longer to recover from than he himself and the club would like to admit. But you see from like a performance that Matip put in this evening, like we talked about, those marauding runs, they're so difficult to kind of really navigate in terms of like from an opponent's point of view, in terms of what the risk reward is. When we saw the reward for it from the Leeds game last year, where he scored off that run. And he's obviously, he helps to progressive, he helps in the builder play so much. But I mean, his defensive work there is absolutely outstanding. I don't recall him ever being bullied at all or just kind of like looking out of sorts. He was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, there couldn't be a more iconic player else to grab the winning goal. What were your thoughts on Matip's performance this evening?
Yeah, no, he was fantastic, man. Yeah, he does what he does. He comes in, reads the game well. Great footballer. You will never tell you that he's not the quickest. He calms the team a lot because he finally picks out passes very well. There's no sense of erratic loss of his play. I enjoyed his performance today, to be fair. I think he was up there with us. Deserved the goal as well. A couple of times when he came into midfield, that he picked one ball out to, I think it was Jota. Jota didn't spin out because Diaz was there free. Mm-hmm. Such a lovely... No, I think it was Bobby. Bobby didn't spin out. Jota, anyway, doesn't matter. But yeah, it was a fantastic little find in the middle, like the weight of pass. Thiago would have been proud of that. Yeah, he was really good today, man. Really good. Great player.
He was really, really good. Peter, I'll come to you. You really good threat from set pieces. I think him and Virgil were annoying that, you know, Virgil didn't get a goal considering the amount of kind of clear chances or clear opportunities they had from kind of like set pieces today. What were your thoughts on Matip? And I guess ultimately, in a way, I know you kind of said it earlier on, but what does it mean for Gomez in a way for the longer term? Obviously, we know he'll get games. Obviously, Konate should be back after the international break. But what do you think it does for his standing as well, kind of longer term into the season?
Yeah, Matip was fantastic today. Very impressive. He just gives us so much in terms of obviously being that kind of seasoned vet. His positioning, and like Ellis said, you wouldn't know that he's, you know what I'm saying, not the quickest, because the way he positions himself is superb. He's aggressive when he needs to be. I wouldn't call him like the most, he does play on the front foot, but he's not the most like aggressive, like, you know what I'm saying, boom, 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 like defender. But like when he needs to be, he'll win a header, he'll step into a challenge or like win a duel or whatever. And I like defenders like that when they need to be, they can be aggressive, but they're not, you know what I'm saying, over aggressive. He's not like a bozo, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was fantastic. He was winning the ball back very quickly. And yeah, he's another weapon in our tool, in our arsenal when we have possession. Like I said, obviously he gets time on the ball, and when he does get time on the ball, he's able to kind of pick passes out. He's very good on the ball. I think we definitely have to start discussing Matip's ability on the ball in terms of definitely being one of the best like ball playing defenders in the league for me.
That's definitely one of the key things as well, especially when you say he doesn't really have those bozo moments, because you think for someone who's kind of marauding forward as much as he does, picks out a lot of key passes, you'd think there'd be a lot more bozo moments in
there. The only thing he might do, he might lose it when he's doing those kind of passes, but he'd never like, you'll never see him like, I don't know, go crazy or like, you know what I'm saying? Just those bozo challenges, stuff like that. And obviously, naturally, you will lose it when you're doing them risky passes. You know what I'm saying? That's only natural.
No, for sure. I mean, I love the guy. It's It's crazy how much he's kind of just improved during his stay at the club, really.
Yeah. And the one thing about him and Thiago, I've noticed, yeah, they can be injured for like a year, 6 months, and they just come back and they slot straight into the team. Like, you know how certain men, when they get injured, like, it takes them a while to, like, kind of get that rust or whatever. With Mata and Thiago, they don't really ever seem to be rusty. They can just come in and just have a great performance straight away like that. It's so funny of them two. But, them two are very elite players, and it's no surprise that we kind of improve when they come back into the side. We improve tenfold. So that's no surprise. With Gomez, I think it's difficult for him because that kind of run in the side was his chance to kind of maybe cement and maybe kind of get that kind of place back next to Van Dijk. But I think he's a victim of kind of unfortunate circumstances, and that obviously he comes into a very chaotic side that's kind of lost his way. And then obviously the kind of unbalancing of the right hand side, I mean, Ellis have argued over, doesn't really help him as well. I would like to see Gomez with Thiago, with, you know what I'm saying, with this team. But yeah, it's difficult for him. I think he might be behind Matip Konate for a minute still.
No, I think that's a completely fair analysis. I mean, you know, it's gonna be a weird season. I'd like to think that Konate probably goes to the World Cup. So there'll be opportunities for Gomez to kind of play after that period. I'm really hoping kind of like now it's going to be a bit of an extended preseason.
What did you guys think of Ellis? Actually, what did you guys think of that Calvin Bassey guy, by the way? Ellis, I'm not sure.
It wasn't his best game today, man. He was
getting stressed.
Every time they showed him, he was getting stressed out. Every time they showed him on his, whatever his weaker foot was, fam, he just kept on kicking out of play. His right foot, yeah, kept on kicking out of play. I was kind of disappointed because I know that he's a bit better than that, do you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, if you've got Salah running at you constantly for 90 minutes, thing with Salah is that he will run at you. It might deflect here, deflect back. He just keeps on running at you, and it's very stressful, it's very tiring.
He couldn't deal with it, man. He got really lucky that one foul didn't get given, where he basically just pushed Salah over because he was like,
he just shifted him. Hey, that killed me.
Shifting him off the ground, bro.
They showed the replay back, and I was like, bro, both hands, are you mad? Like,
he's picked him up. He literally picked him up. But I think he's better than that. But today, he just didn't really show it, to be quite honest.
I think his PMP is peak, though. Like, his PMP is different.
He's in that 99th percentile, really, for like
PMP. Yeah, like, his PMP is different. I just think that it doesn't look smooth when he's on the ball. Like Ellis said, he just looks a bit press him. It's kind of
cumbersome.
He can get under his feet or something like that. Or he doesn't really like the angles on his right foot and stuff like that. And also, but he's super aggressive, like super, super aggressive kind of defender. I don't know.
He's a big lad as well, you know?
Yeah, he's big. Big.
I think he's got to be like 6'2 or something.
In that league, though, he will eat in that league, though, because
he will mess up a lot of
in some of them European games. I was watching Rangers in last season. He was running around like fucking Baresi. It was ridiculous.
Even in the final,
he's like man of the match.
He was the man, but he'll come good. He's a young kid. He'll come good. But today wasn't just one of them days.
True. You don't run into your Mohamed Salahs that much in the Eredivisie. I like Cody Gakpo, but there's levels to this game.
Pair J Balvin's, bro. But Anthony's.
These men are not Salah, fam.
Bro, they're doing one step over these days and it's £80 million. What's the world coming to?
Insane.
Before we log off, I am conscious that it's a little bit late. I'm hoping they kind of do this extended preseason thing, kind of get together, work on their game. Obviously, tomorrow will probably be a light recovery, but he'll want them kind of doing drills, as you know, he was very adamant that it was a lot of tough love after that Napoli result, which was a good thing. I think a lot of them kind of needed a little bit of an inconvenient truth in terms of their performances and quite honestly their focus and ability on the pitch, which was quite dire, especially in that Napoli performance. What do you guys want to see them kind of work on now before they go off on this international break? Is it passing shapes? Is it kind of some defensive structure? What do you guys specifically want to see either the team or certain individuals work on whilst they've got this bit of a gap?
So I think what it's easy for me to say. What I liked about this game was that the intensity was there. And when we lost the ball, we pressed and we kind of hunted in groups and packs. And I think there was one moment where like we lost the ball like a counter attack, and like I think after we scored and everyone got back. Like I saw Salah, I saw Fabinho, I saw Thiago, like all run back into shape very quickly. And that was one thing I didn't see in a Napoli game, that kind of like hunger and desire to get back into shape quicker. So I like that. I was impressed with our performance today. I liked what I saw from the boys. Obviously, I saw a lot more hunger and I saw a lot more desire, and I saw them obviously have a bit more structure. I think that comes naturally with Thiago coming back into the side. Okay, my thing is that I haven't really learned much from today, if that makes sense. Like, I know that Thiago, Matip, Jota are quality elite players and that will improve when they come back to the side. But what I wanted to see today was maybe just a bit of like a, I don't know, like maybe a bit more kind of a different, maybe not what style of playing, a way of playing. I think that's a bit harsh to expect, but like if Thiago gets injured again, are we going back into the same kind of struggles? You know what I'm saying? Does Milner come back in to the side and then we start struggling again? So I just feel like we kind of need to find a way of playing where we don't have to rely so heavily on like a profile of Thiago, if that makes sense. So maybe like a 4-2-3-1, or maybe haven't playing a 4-3-3, but I don't know, maybe our fullbacks don't push up so high, just maybe playing a system that doesn't, because I don't think we can rely on having Thiago fit for the whole season. Matip, maybe, I'm not sure, but like, so I just wanted to kind of maybe, Klopp obviously needs to use this kind of pre-season as a way to kind of coach the team and maybe kind of formulate a kind of plan so that our structure is good enough that when Thiago is out, when Matip is out, that we don't kind of go back to the shell of our former selves in the start of the season.
I think that's incredibly fair. I think this is the big annoying thing for me. I know we all kind of like realistically share the same sentiments. That really annoying that kind of like a guy like Curtis Jones hasn't been available for these run of games.
For sure.
Okay, yeah, we look at it, athleticism, a bit of dynamism can give you a little bit offensively, and you know, kind of like tracking back in his work ethic. I mean, the last time we played Ajax at home, I generally think he was man of the match for that game.
You know what? I've never really complained about Ellis. Maybe, I don't know. Have you ever complained about Curtis defensively? It's always been
he's always
decision
been good,
making.
Man.
Yeah, like, it's always decision making, final good, product. Yeah. But defensively, he's kind of sound, like defensively. I don't know.
It's interesting, man, because he's always got the fundamentals down with this kind of like positioning and where he needs to be.
Yeah,
like, he's one of those players where he's kind of guaranteed to get like two or three interceptions a game because he's quite switched on and aware. But we know what the detriment is to his kind of game going forward, where he's a little bit indecisive in certain moments. So, I mean, if that's the trade off you get, I mean, it's worth it to a degree because he probably is someone who's capable of like lashing one off from 30 yards and kind of putting in the top bins, as we have seen. But yeah, kind of flight. He is a bit of fight or flight when he gets kind of towards the edge of the box. It's weird. He's kind of become a bit of a genie clone in that way. Els, what do you want to see them work on?
I think obviously mine would be like defensive shape and also just a bit more confidence, because at times today we looked a bit like shook. Just put the part of four on Ajax's next. Sometimes looks a bit tentative. At times wasn't as ruthless in the final third as it would like us to be. So I think mine would just probably be a bit more work on that confidence. I don't know how they're gonna work on that in the training. I need that club to sort out, but me, but I need more aggressive.
I do love this. I like how we do our normal everyday jobs, but yet we try and solve the issues that, you know, literal multi-billionaires and, you know, highly, you know, I don't even want to know what the pay is on some of the coaching staff's contracts, but yeah, these highly paid individuals, yeah. But, you know, their day job is to solve these things.
What is their chance? But yeah, that's what I would like to see us get back in our groove. Maybe obviously Thiago coming in, Ator to come in as well, Jones to come back, probably Liverpool will be able to move the ball a bit quicker and get up the pitch a bit faster. But yeah, it was good to see us play better. I think this was our best game of the season.
I'd agree with that, you know.
Let's not count the Bournemouth game. Bournemouth, the game don't count.
Yeah,
I'm in the kind of.
Yeah, no,
that's why I didn't count it. I said this is our best game.
Don't get me wrong. I love the memories the Bournemouth game gave me, but I mean,
at
the
same time, yeah.
It's become a bit of an anomaly at this point that I have just simply put to one side. If I'm putting the Bournemouth game to one side, the best performance is probably second half against Crystal Palace, and we had 10 men, so that's absolutely insane. Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely the best performance of the season so far. Well, as I said, Newcastle are that bad in some places, but no, this is the best one. It's the most complete game.
The Newcastle game,
first half was okay.
Yeah.
But then, today, overall, first half and second half, I thought we was good today.
We were really good.
The confidence thing is so funny because did you guys see that chance? I don't know, it was a corner. Then it fell to Matip, and then Matip could have shot. I was like, no, give it to Matip. Give it to Diaz.
Again, man, if I say fair play to the Ajax goalkeeper, he did a good job. Very good job.
Matip didn't want to shoot with his feet at all. He gave it to Van Dijk. Van Dijk was like, no, bro, allow me. Give it to Diaz. Kill me.
Quick pass. I think the key thing for me would be trying to integrate Darwin more into the 4-3-3. Game into either the Bobby Firmino boot camp or just have the all Latin kind of like all room going in there, because I think there's definitely things he can learn from obviously Diogo, who's kind of going through the same process in a way.
That boot camp includes Firmino, Havertz, Jesus, those are his sons.
It is, man. At this point, Kai Havertz. God knows where Kai Havertz is going to play in the grand part.
They want to be him. On my life, they want to be him.
Bro, when you are the standard for false nines in this world, they all see, man. You know what I mean? They all see. They all mock, but they all
I saw Jesus making interceptions. Everyone was like, oh my God, he's playing so good. That made that game. LSU was there. I don't think Jesus actually
liked him. Man.
But yeah, he was pressing really well.
Okay.
Look at Jesus's work rate, yeah? He's got, he's winning the ball back really high up. And I was like, hang on a minute. He hasn't scored. He wears number 9. I've seen this before. I've seen this exact same script.
I've seen this film before.
The problem is where, like, Chelsea fans are like, habits makes us more fluid. Okay, then.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because you need Dak Lights to give you more fluidity when you're playing 9 defenders. Okay. Seeing how this goes. But yeah, I mean, me and Ellis did the bloody breakdown on when we signed Darwin Núñez, so we were pretty confident then there's going to be success, and I'm still quite confident now. You see the chances that he's getting. Calm down. Go and get a few more tattoos when you're on your break. That link up with Lingard was the most odd thing I've ever seen in my entire life, but more power to you, my guy. Man, get more settled in. He'll be a bagged one. It'll just come with time. The one thing I did want to quickly touch on before we sign off, which I thought was quite funny, obviously Bayern Munich won this evening. However, it's 3 draws in a row for Bayern Munich, and the mood is apparently it's a dark mood ahead of Lewandowski's return, and the stakes are really high for Nagelsmann. It's almost like they miss Sadio Mane in a way, which is really interesting. And again, after this performance, apparently he stunk the gaff out playing on left wing.
I've been reading it. And Nagelsmann said he's not played left wing before for us. So
this is the funny quote.
I've seen that, bro, before.
It's like, you cannot lie and tell me something I've seen with my own eyes for the past 5 years, you absolute swine.
You see the quote? Quote, Chris, please. I bet.
So this is Julian Nagelsmann. This is what Julian Nagelsmann had to say on Sadio Mane's performance this evening against Barcelona. He's played in a new position today that he hasn't played before in Liverpool. We're happy to have him. He will certainly make his mark on our game. He played on the left wing, girls.
Hold on a minute. So where was he playing for us then?
For 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's funny. It's funny that because everybody swore on their lives and their mum's life that we missed him. And he was the catalyst for that. Okay. That's interesting.
It's just incredibly lazy analysis, isn't it? Like,
madly.
That's incredibly lazy.
How can I get quick clicks and make people annoyed? There we go. That's what it is.
Liverpool start to obviously not have the best form, start to lose. You know what I'm saying? You blame the player that they sold this summer. Like, it's just so easy. And you're not even watching us. Our best player this season, maybe not top three, is Lucas Diaz. You know what I'm saying? He's got, I think, 3 goals, I don't know, 2 assists or something like that, or 2 goals, 2 assists. Like, he's been quality for us this season. That's been our best player. What are you talking about? Good. Like, what are you actually talking about? Like, yeah. And the thing is, I'm not even dogging Mane. It's not Mane. It's about the people that are doing this lazy analysis saying that that our bad form is down to missing Mane. No, it's not. It's down to a bad structure. It's down to, like, a lack of control in the midfield and obviously, like, a leaky defence.
Exactly that. People telling him, you missed his press. Like, he's the one that is the... I'm like, what? Get out of my face, man. Please, get out.
I hate that. So lazy. You see Diaz pressing like a madman today. What? Why?
Obviously, more power to Mane. We love him.
I hope he does well.
I hope he does well 100% in it. He does deserve to do well, but people need to allow it with the lazy comments and the lazy analysis. It's like, fam, you can't tell me that someone that plays on the left wing is going to solve our midfield issue. You know?
I think the only teams that have scored us in the Premier season have been like Man City. I think it's Man City and who were the other team? Man City and Brentford are the only team that I think outscored us this season. Our attack is not the issue. You know what I'm saying? It's the lack of control in the midfield and obviously conceding goals defensively. Our attack has not really been an issue. All of them have scored. Firmino scored, Salah scored, Nunes scored, Diaz. They've all scored, contributed.
I'm actually laughing again at that Nagelsmann quote, because how are you going to tell me that the man who famously played on the left wing in Liverpool's famous front three trio doesn't play left wing at all? That is absolutely an egregious thing to say. Fair enough. Whatever lies make you feel better. But yeah, now obviously we all hope that Mane does well. It's just, yeah, like everyone's just said, it's really lazy analysis and just kind of do better when you're kind of thinking of Liverpool's weaknesses. But yeah, this has been a ton of fun, guys. It's been nice to actually talk about a win for a change, as opposed to crushing either draws or even more crushing defeats at the hands of Napoli, which is never a good thing. But no Liverpool games in the next 3 weeks, but you can be sure that we will be podding as per usual with the weekly pod and, of course, with our bonus content, which you can find over on the Patreon page. That is www.patreon.com/carpentfracas and subscribe from just £3 a month today. I've been your host, and I've been very happy to host this pod, Krish, alongside Peter and Ellis. Gentlemen, thank you very much for staying up late and record the pod with myself. It's an absolute pleasure, as always. Join us next week when we will... I have no idea what the hell we're going to do next week. Boy. We will think of something.
Boy. We can have Peter...
What? What did
you say? Have Peter Steven. We have Peter spitting a quick 16, fam.
It might have to be, you know. It might have to be, because I don't know what we're going to do, boy.
Cop end in the booth, yeah? Interesting.
Yeah.
We could do? I've got an interesting idea. We'll talk about it more offline, but we could do, like, you know, a little transfer pod, what Liverpool can do.
We'll have something cooking.
This is reminding me when we were having to pull them pods together in lockdown and we had nothing going on. Which we somehow grew our audience base. So thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in and sticking with us on this long journey. Liverpool gain a crucial 3 points in their Champions League group. Hopefully they're getting back on track to march towards the rest of their season. No game this weekend. Hopefully Jurgen can keep the boys in. Keep them getting stronger, and when they come back from these national break, hit the ground running as per usual. Thank you very much for tuning into this week's episode of Copper and Fracas. Be sure to listen to every other podcast on the Touchline Fracas Network. Until next time, we'll see you soon.
Peace.
Thanking you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.